thankful to be here, even though it's cold. This is about as cold as it gets in Florida. Been in Melbourne now for 4 years, and we've not had a frost in Melbourne. So we're trying to adjust this cold, and that sounds like air conditioning this time.
You would be correct.
But we want you all comfortable. So, and you outnumber my one. So, but we're thankful to be here. Thankful for Brother Randy inviting us to be here. He said to stand in the place of my dad. That's an impossibility. He said to take a few minutes and reminisce about my dad. But I wonder if he realized that I have a unique distinction of having been taught, instructed, pastored, mentored by three of your former pastors. Brother Roger Jones, pastor of this church, became my pastor in 89, and I'd known him for many years before that. I knew him since about 1969. I learned a lot from Brother Jones. Not as much as I should have and could have, but nonetheless, I learned a lot from him. Appreciated him and miss him. Brother Randy Titus, I was going to say former pastor, yes, but I still count him as my pastor. Learned a lot from him in 3 years. Yeah, I think it's 3 years, about. Sitting under his ministry. Showed as a pastor a lot of thought and wisdom in pastoring one of the Lord's churches. And then, of course, my dad, who was the most influential for the longest period of time. And yes, I can stand right here with Brother Scott and say he wasn't perfect. As a child, I grew up in his home. I could have told you all about, as a teenager, I could have told you all about his imperfections, let me tell you. But then I became an adult. And the Lord saved me. One thing in way of testimony I can say concerning my dad. I've seen over the years of childhood in his home And then as an adult, I seen a steady growth spiritually. I saw the Lord working on him. And I just pray that as my children, my grandchildren, friends, those who know me, will at one point be able to say the same thing. And he's still working on me.
Amen.
Yes, Randy and I knew one another. And we can attest to those imperfections as a child of God and each other. But I don't know if it's, I guess it's age. Maybe more than age, it's growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. That I see myself more than I see others. I live with this fella day after day. Most of the time I don't like what I see. Especially when I pick up the Word of God and even the Old Testament. Yes, as I'm reading there about Israel. And it used to be that it was real easy to read about Israel and say, how could they?
Yeah.
And now I read about Israel and their rebellions and their idolatry. And I say, how could I? How can I? Three of your former pastors, very influential in my life. Love them all. I love all the brethren here today. Brother Darrell, Brother Dave, Brother Dan, Brother Scott, where did he disappear to? Some of you I don't know as well as I know these others. Brother Randy told me the theme of the conference 8 months ago. I think it was about February, something like that. He told me what he had in mind. Christ in the midst of our churches. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Book of Ephesians chapter 2. We probably be approaching this from a little different standpoint than the others, but not so different. As we get going, it mirrors a lot of what Brother Scott and Brother Randy had to say, and what Brother Darrell had to say. The book of Ephesians starts out being written to the church at Ephesus. Letting us know that in grace, before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Him. First chapter closes out with Paul revealing to them the same power that raised Christ from the dead. same power that saved us. Closes out by saying that Christ is the head of his church. He's been given that headship over his church. Second chapter starts out letting us know we were all the saved. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Even goes to describing what wretches we were and are. I love verse 4, but God. But God. That's the whole crutch of everything, but God. But one for God, we yet be dead in our trespasses and sins. By grace you are saved. We who are Gentiles, the Ephesian church was primarily Gentiles, were at one time strangers, foreigners. But now, both Jew and Gentile in the Ephesian church, in our churches, are made one by the blood of Christ. Verse 19 of chapter 2 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of faith." And our, where we'll take our subject from this morning is verses 20 through 22. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I have one point. Don't get too excited. I have a lot of subpoints. The church and its foundation. God, through his spokesman, Paul, goes from, or transitions from, the kingdom and family of God in verse 19 to the church in verse 20 through 22. And he says, "And are built." The word "built" is a Greek word which means to build upon, build up, to finish the structure of which the foundation has already been laid. The verb tense is aorist, which simply places the emphasis on action. It is in the passive voice, which simply means the subject is the recipient of the action, the church. Is the recipient of the action. It is a participle, which simply reflects to us, ing, or ed can be added to the verb, and is to this verb. So translation is, are being built. Not something that has been done or has been completed, but it is in the process. Or being built. He said the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets were indeed the foundation of the church. The apostles were first members of the church that Jesus built. The apostles had been baptized by John the Baptist. Acts chapter 1, verse 22 gives the qualification for an apostle. One had to begin with the baptism of John, and we know that John did not baptize anyone who did not give forth fruits suitable for repentance. In other words, they gave evidence that they in fact did have repentance and faith, and were baptized by John the Baptist, who was preparing a material for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28 tells us that he has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. The church is an ecclesia called out called out assembly. In the book of Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 6, we see the Lord Jesus Christ doing just that. Calling out from his disciples, 12, whom he named apostles. Prophets. A prophet, in the strictest sense, is one with a message from God. Its literal Greek meaning is an interpreter of oracles or other hidden things. One moved by the Spirit of God and therefore his spokesman, declaring to men what he has received. Sounds like a pastor, doesn't it? Like a preacher, like an evangelist. The apostles were prophets. John the Baptist was a prophet. And so apostles and prophets refer to the 12 apostles, to his prophets, his angels, his messengers, and his New Testament churches, the Lord's kind of church. Our text, verse 20, says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone of the church. He founded it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He is the rock on which he built his kind of church. The corner stone. Notice stone, the word stone is italicized. And you know the word in italics has the distinction of having been added by the King James translator. Doesn't do any harm to the meaning or the text. It just sometimes helps to better clarify for us. What is a cornerstone? What is the chief corner?
It was placed at the extreme corner. The corner, it is referred to as the corner foundation stone. It is that part of the building which determines, get this if you don't get anything else, it is that part of the building which determines the trueness of the structure.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is that chief corner. He is that foundation stone. He is that by which all others are measured. Acts chapter 2. Day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were added unto them, unto the church at Jerusalem.
Amen.
And it says concerning that church, in verse 42, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the significance of that? The apostles' doctrine, that foundation was Jesus Christ himself laid, and where did the apostles get their doctrine? Where did they get their teaching?
Amen.
They got it from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right,
Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, he commends the Corinthian church. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances, those things that have given over, that he had given over to them as I delivered them." What things had he given over to them? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, he talks about being caught up into the third heaven. He didn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. He couldn't tell. But being caught up in the third heaven. The book of Galatians chapter 1 verses 15, 16, and 17. He says he was caught away out into the Arabian desert. What did he receive out there in the Arabian desert? What did he receive being caught up into the third heaven? The teachings of Christ. He was instructed firsthand, as were the other 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone binds the structure together. This is important. It's important for every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to get and to understand this construction, this foundation, this chief cornerstone binds the whole structure together. And so he tells us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, begin reading with verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." What did he give them to the church for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love," I emphasize that word love, "may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're to be growing up into Him, Christ Jesus, the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. Bound together. Just as your body is bound together by ligaments and tendons and muscles and everything, so the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is bound together by that chief cornerstone, Christ has His kind of church. You say, how do I know whether it's His kind of church? You measure it by that chief cornerstone. You measure it by His teachings. We already referenced Ephesians 1:22 and 23, which said, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Get that. I emphasize that. It's important. It's His body. He's the head. And we got a lot of churches that call themselves the Lord's churches that have separated themselves from their head, and they're going a different direction than what the head is leading and directing. We've got a headless body walking around. He is the head of His body, His kind of church. And He's not the head of a harlot. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? What's the body made up of? What is the church made up of? It's made up of individual members. When we join ourselves to the things of the world and walk in the ways of the world, we're told, God forbid, you're not the head of a harlot. Serious business, brethren, sisters, church members. Verse 21 of our text, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. This verse gives us the all-important relationship between the cornerstone in the building. In whom? In whom refers back to verse 20 to Christ, the chief corner. Amen. As the foundation stone, it is that by which the architect fixes a standard for the bearings of the wall and the cross walls throughout. Churches draft up
doctrinal statements. Those doctrinal statements better agree with what the chief cornerstones taught. Jesus Christ is the basis. He is the foundation stone for the building, for that which is being built. Said, in whom all, the word all is a Greek word which signifies individual, each. The building, the Greek word that means that which is being built, build up. Each several building, in other words. Church at Traverse City, Michigan is in each. One of the each several buildings. Church at Melbourne, Florida is one of the each several buildings being built up. Church at Washington. Church at, what's that town over there, Brother Gordon? Mount Morris, Michigan. Cadillac. Flat Rock. I guess it's Warren, Michigan, not Detroit, Michigan. We used to call it Detroit, Michigan. It was close enough. It was Detroit. Each church in a certain location is a particular building, and there's not one large universal, visible or invisible. I've never seen a large, universal, visible church. And what to give, I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but what to give pastors and teachers and all these things to a universal church? How do you give something to something that Amen. You can't see? Amen. I've yet to figure out how to pastor that universal church. So each church is being built. Built in the sense of being edified. Chapter 4. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. We're not yet there, but it's to bring us to that state of perfection. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word edifying in these verses is the same Greek word as building back in our text in verse 21. Now, he said, in whom all the building fitly framed together. Fitly framed together. The Greek word that means to join closely together. Our churches, the Lord's kind of churches, are to be being joined together. Close together. I love to see churches that are close together. And for a few today that are joined close together, this word comes from two words. The first is a preposition with, denoting union. The second means adjoining. So it indicates that each part of the building is working together with all the other parts to do its specific job, promoting unity and to stay strong and to grow. We're to be, as members of the Lord's kind of church, we're to be working together in our respective churches, promoting unity, promoting strength, promoting that building, that edifying of the body. We're admonished in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 10. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There again, I reference verses 11 through 16. We'll not read them again, but we've read them before. He gave some pastors and apostles and evangelists and pastor teachers and so forth, the different offices, and set members in the church for the building up of the church and promoting unity in the body of Christ. Being fitly joined together. Each several building or particular assembly is by itself a temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the Ephesian church and our churches today are to be fitly joined together in that local church. Right. Melbourne, Traverse City, Mount Morris, Wauseon, Flat Rock, Warren, wherever you remember Lord's church. Jews and Gentiles working together in that Ephesus church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Each part accomplishing the purpose of God. And every member is important in that.
Amen.
Everyone. I'm going to take the time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members," that is your human body, is one. Head's not separate from your body. Your arm's not separate from your body. Your hand's not separate from your body. "And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ." So also is the body of Christ. Pause and let that sink in. You see, if you're a member of the Lord's Church, you're not individual.
Right.
You're part of the body of Christ.
Right.
And that locale.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. That is, baptized into that body in that locale, not a universal body. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smell? It's just ridiculous, isn't it, to even think such things. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Every one of you members of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, Traverse City, Michigan, you've been set in here as it has pleased Him. If in fact He's placed you here.
Right.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered, hath mixed together the body, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Is your church like that? Is my church like that? When one member's hurting, do we hurt? When one member's rejoicing, do we rejoice? Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That is, you've been assigned that one body.
Right. Yep.
By Christ. He's put you there. We're to be working together in unity as the body of Christ. He's our head. We're the body. As I stand here, who do you see? You see Seth Bourne with a head and a body. As people see the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, what are they to see?
Jesus Christ. People see Faith Baptist Church, Washington, Ohio. What do they see? They see Jesus Christ. As people see Faith Missionary Baptist Church, Traverse City, Michigan, what do they see? They receive Jesus Christ.
Now,
when the physical, sometimes the physical body gets haywire. Sometimes the physical body attacks itself.
They have a name for that medically, called autoimmune disease. My wife has an autoimmune disease. That's where her immune system attacks her body, some part of it.
It would seem as Brother Bowen, you pray for Brother Bowen, it would seem as though he has an autoimmune disease called rheumatoid arthritis. That's where the immune system has attacked the joints of his body.
There ought not to be an autoimmune disease in the Lord's churches.
In the book of Genesis, chapter 13, Abraham and Lot, they've grown and exponentially in servants and in wealth. And the servants of Abraham begin fighting with the servants of Lot. And maybe Lot had something to do with it, maybe he didn't. But Abraham went to Lot and said, "These things ought not to be. We be brethren." First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, love, agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Verse 4, "Charity suffereth long." Are we long-suffering with one another? "And is kind." "Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." We have a lot of puffed up Christians in our churches who are vaunting themselves. That's not agape. "Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil," is not easily provoked. Well, there's a lot of people who don't take much to provoke them. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." Well, when it comes to truth, we have a lot of church members say, "Well, that's your opinion." They're not rejoicing in the truth. They're rejoicing in iniquity. If you don't do the truth, what is it? Is it not sin? Is it not iniquity? "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Building is to grow. church is to grow. Groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. The church is the temple of God. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And so we're to grow in holiness. Verse 17 of that same chapter. That's separation. That's holy living. Sanctified living. That's becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Lord Jesus Christ is washing his church, sanctifying his church, cleansing his church. Then he says in our text in verse 22, he says, build it together. The word, Greek word, simply means to build together. Churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, each one is being built together with those members that he's added there to it. They're being builded together. Both in the case of the Ephesian church, it was both Jew and Gentile are being built together.
Right.
And together are building. And together we're building the Ephesus church. And each one of us are built together. Our churches are to be built together and together building.
Amen. That's right.
The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, we're a diverse people. We come from all different backgrounds. There should be no divisions, no schisms. In the church, we read that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17 says, for we being many are one bread and one body. Chapter 12 and verse 12, we read that. It said, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And Ephesians 4 and verse 13 said, till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No one is to be exalted above another, as it's been said here already. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Well, Paul, Barnabas, tried to tell those ones at Lystra after he healed the lame man, and they saw that they had power. They made Paul, wanted to make Paul and Barnabas gods. Called one Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. And Paul said, no. We're men of like passions as you. Don't exalt us. He told the Corinthian church in the first letter in chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, some were saying they were of John, of Paul, of Apollos, of Cephas. And he said, is Christ divided? Don't be exalting men.
We're going to be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ.
We were all dead in trespasses and sins. To stay in our context of chapter 2 of Ephesians. Before, but God.
In the but God, where is there exaltation of man? There's not.
We were all recipients of grace through faith to the saving of our souls, Ephesians 2:8.
That faith,
which all who are born again have, is in the work of Jesus Christ. His shed blood. On down a few verses in the same chapter of Ephesians.
And His death, burial, and resurrection. That is His shed blood and His vicarious death. Substitutionary death on the cross, as we're told of in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26.
We all who are saved are baptized and brought in relationship to a local church through water baptism. We emphasize that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13.
We're all to be growing together by the instruction of the Holy Spirit through the Word. What's the Word? This is. Well, John 1:1. Christ is the Word. We're builded together as a local church. A habitation, a home, or a dwelling. He says, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. His Spirit. You see. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, led Paul to preach first to the Jews and primarily all over the Gentile world.
We know about the ministry of Paul. If we study the book of Acts at all, know about his ministry and his going forth.
Jesus Christ dwells in each of his churches as the head. Is the head separate from the body? Not supposed to be. And the body is to be working together in unity to picture Jesus Christ. And reference Matthew chapter 5 again. We're to be a light.
Amen.
Shining forth the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Revelation 21 makes it pretty plain that Jesus Christ is the glory of God.
We're going to send some spies out into the land